from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
1057 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Mandatory mini camp, OTAs, rookie camp, all that's done. Now it's all about training camp coming up in about 6 weeks, and one of the key contributors there, and obviously once the season begins, is going to be safety Marcus Williams, who the Ravens signed a couple of years ago from New Orleans. Injuries, unfortunately, have been an issue for him. Not lack of performance, just he's been banged up. Yep. And the question yesterday was, hey, you had one arm. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, I mean, my arms are always functioning. It's not about showing anybody anything. It's about showing myself what I could do. I never worry about showing anybody what I could do. I just stay true to me, go out there, perform to the best of my abilities, no matter what's going on. And that's just as football players. You got to, you know, overcome adversity and face that looking in the eye and just never give up.
2 years, Vinny's played 21 regular season games for the Ravens.
Yeah, and Bob, before that, it was never hurt. And the way he started out, what he was leading the league in intercept, like four picks right off the jump.
Right.
So, but I'll just say this, the way, and maybe it's been good that Hamilton has missed, you know, a little bit of time because it's given Marcus Williams a chance to really be the guy, take over, be in charge. He's vocal out there, and he's been making plays. He looks very good. So that, to me, is something that Mike McDonald didn't have last year. He had a one-arm guy that couldn't reach up for the ball, and he missed a lot of tackles because of one arm. So if he gets a healthy Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton, that I don't know if there's a better safety group in the league.
Yeah, this guy has 20 interceptions for his career, five with the Ravens and four, as you said, Vinny, in the first half of 2022. And the one play from last year that stands out to me is the game in London against Tennessee where Derrick Henry was just kind of running him down. It wasn't like he was just pushing Earl Thomas. Get out of my way. Marcus Williams just couldn't wrap. He was just kind of trying to nudge him out of bounds, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, just think of how it would be to play football basically when you got one arm wrapped and you're a DB, and then you're trying to tackle a dude 240, and he's running down the side that you can't stretch your arm out,
right.
You know, and you're trying to reach, that would be extremely difficult. And I knock on wood that he can stay healthy this year because I think he can be really something special for them back there.
Here's Marcus Williams talking about dealing with these injuries.
Injuries happen in a year, and you just got to overcome those injuries and, you know, just push past them, which I think I'm pretty good at doing.
Well, you've had a lot of work at it the last two years to put it past you.
Well, it's a broken wrist the first year.
So mentally, he's probably been, you know, a head case. Like, probably when he got hurt, here I go again. And because, you know, the type of guy, those type of athletes, I just want to be healthy. I just want to be healthy. And then people can see. Because people at Bob, we've seen him for what? Three games of what they paid for, really, at the beginning of that year when he had all those interceptions, and then we hadn't seen that guy.
Here's Marcus Williams talking about his sidekick in that safety room. Kyle Hammond.
Kyle has always been a good player. You know, he's worked his butt off day in and day out. I mean, you know, I helped him here and there, but that's all his doing. That's his work, his offseason work, his film room work. You know, I don't take credit for any of the stuff that he's done. You know, he's a great player. He's putting the time and the effort to go out there and make those plays. He's confident, and you see that by his play. So I think just him just putting that time in and respecting the process, he comes out there and he performs.
And it's crazy, too, if you think about it, Vinny. We said 21 up 34 regular season games Williams has played. When Williams was playing great in the first half of 22, Kyle Hamilton was still trying to get it together.
Yes.
A little bit. And then last year, you know, when Hamilton was an all-pro, Williams was in his, you know, normal, healthy self. So to your point, if they both stay healthy,
yeah,
I mean, that's probably the best safety duo in football here.
Well, the thing about it is, Bob, it's two ball hawks. It's two guys that can make interceptions. It's two guys that can play the ball. I mean, Bob, last year Mike McDonald was – Kyle Hamilton was lining up over the middle receiver and stuff. So it gives them a lot more versatility there. You know, because you talk about, oh, they need a third safety. Last year, Geno Stone was a third safety, but he had to play a lot because Marcus Williams was out. But just think of – maybe your third safety doesn't need to be as good if Williams and Hamilton are healthy, because then you got two really good studs. Whereas when Geno had the, you know, Marcus Williams was a shell of himself a year ago.
It's 58 Haiti 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest, featured artist Friday. Let's get to the cornerback position real quick. So as we talk about the safety duo and how formidable they're going to be, health permitting, what about cornerbacks right now? And he goes back to the health of Marlon Humphrey. Hey, Brandon Stevens had a bust-out year. Yep. Is there a higher ceiling than what we saw last year spot?
I would say yes, just because last year was the first year that he played corner specifically, and he did a really nice job. He does a really good job in press, and he's a big-bodied guy. The only thing that he doesn't do is he doesn't finish it. He doesn't play the ball well, and a lot of guys catch it. I mean, he may be right next to him, and they catch it. So maybe he could improve some on that. But I think otherwise, Bob, safeties are going to be young. Because I'm not – whatever you get out of Marlon Humphrey, to me, is a bonus. You can't count on him, kind of like Jonas was saying. You know, he's been banged up last year. Something hurt every week. And now he missed the whole offseason. What's to say he's going to be – healthy now come training camp, and can he stay healthy? That's the biggest thing. Otherwise, you've got Wiggins, rookie. You got Tampa, rookie. Armour Davis, basically a rookie if he can stay healthy. So, I mean, you've got a lot of young, inexperienced corners.
It's 58-81-05-7 The Fan. We'll talk more Ravens coming up around 12:45 and at NFL lunchtime at 1. When we return, going to count that cash heading into the weekend. It's Father's Day weekend at that. Also talk about the sports subjects of this day. An Orioles prospect, one of their top prospects, Jake McDermott down in Norfolk. He'll be joining us around 12:30.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
888-1057, the Fan Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins, Chase McDermott, Oriole prospect joining us bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for that. But it's a busy weekend coming up in the world of sports. It's Father's Day weekend, so happy Father's Day to all the gentlemen that celebrate. Vinny, like yourself. Bob. And me. Nolan. I know you got some kids running around.
Not yet, right, Norm? We can't talk about that on the radio.
You're like the Tyreek Hill of 105.7 The Fan over there. But anyway, we'll get into all of that in due time. Let's count that cash by yourself.
Well, the Dow's down 107. The S&P's down 13. NASDAQ's down 21. DraftKings is down 85 cents. Under Armour's flat at 662. So, not making any money today.
Oh, boy. Well, let's start here in the NHL. A little side story in the Stanley Cup Finals happened in the fallout of Game 2. A big hit. Oilers center Leon Draisaitl laying out Panther center Alexander Barkov, leaving him laying down there on the ice in serious pain. Took an elbow to the face, and as you would expect, a little scrum ensued between teammates. But afterwards, the league didn't hand out a suspension or a fine to Draisaitl. Both men returned to play in Game 3 last night. And Draisaitl said there's no malicious intent behind it. That's never been his track record in his career. Vinny, are you buying or selling that the hit was not worthy of any league response?
I'll soft buy it. Should there have been a fine? Possibly. I mean, it was an elbow right to the face. But probably with Draisaitl's history, probably he's never had any major penalties like that at all. That's probably what got him off and being in the playoffs.
We'll go over to tonight's game and really the entire weekend series. Two of the best teams in Major League Baseball will meet at Camden Yards, and two of the best leadoff hitters as well. Gunnar Henderson, we know what he's been doing this year at the top of the order. Seven of his 21 homers have been of the leadoff variety, the kind of stuff that baseball fans have become used to seeing from Phillies outfielder Kyle Schwarber. He's always pushing 50 home runs in his career, it seems, and doing a lot of that damage in the leadoff spot. Buy or sell, Bob, we will see both of these guys collect leadoff homers at some point this weekend.
I mean, the orange Kool-Aid wants me to say no. It's going to be, what, 90-some, 80-some this weekend? It's going to be sunny. I think the ball might have a little more oomph to it. I'll go ahead and buy that. I mean, these teams are very strong offensively and two of the three best pitching teams in baseball, too. This is a strong mid-June series for sure.
Go over to the Ravens here, where Lamar Jackson, he was absent from Ravens OTAs, or a majority of them, and the reports in that time from the castle were that the quarterback play that was there was not very good. Josh Johnson, probably your leader of that backup group right now, but at 38 years old, his status in the league, it's pretty much set in stone. He is who he is. Meanwhile, you got a rookie in Devin Leary, who naturally has more upside, but very rough around the edges right now. Baltimore felt comfortable moving on from Tyler Huntley, who had taken a lot of starter reps in his time here because of injuries for Lamar. But Vinny, buy or sell, the Ravens will need to scoop up another veteran backup before the season begins.
I'll soft buy it. It all depends on who's available and how much they cost. When you have a $52 million quarterback, they don't have that kind of money. And I think they have faith in Josh Johnson. I mean, let's face facts. Tyler Huntley, how many games did he win? I mean, if Lamar was there, he not winning games, so what's it really matter? But Leary's a ways away from being able to play in the National Football League. So Josh Johnson would be, especially if they can run the football and he can play action pass, he could probably get them through is probably what they're thinking.
We'll move over to the NBA, where tonight the Mavericks will play with their backs against the wall in Game 4 of the NBA Finals. They got blown out in Game 1, but they had chances to win both Games 2 and 3, couldn't come through in crunch time, and the main key appears to be the lack of support for Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Meanwhile, on the other side in Boston, their star duo has received plenty of big contributions from other players. Kristaps Porzingis in Game 1, Drew Holiday in Game 2, Derek White's been solid the entire time. Buy or sell, Bob, someone besides Doncic or Irving will score 20 for Dallas tonight.
I'm going to sell. I just don't see it happening. No one seems to be competent shooting the ball. Now, would it be incumbent on Luka maybe to share the ball a little bit? But it's funny, this guy, he's one of the best players in the league, but still takes a lot of heat. Kyrie had a rough couple games in Boston, but he's a stud, as we know. I just don't see it. I'm saying, if I'm a Mavericks fan, Tim Hardaway Jr., I don't know if he's hurt. I don't think he is, but he was your third leading scorer during the regular season. Started to fade down the stretch of playing time, playoffs. He's been a non-existent part of it. Who knows? It's desperate times, man. Get desperate measures. Maybe instead of Michael Finley snatching beers out of Luka Doncic's can, how about you suit up and play a little bit, and then you can drink a couple beers celebratory yourself.
And we'll close with this here in the NFL. The Bears. They left this year's draft. They got a new quarterback and a new talented wide receiver to go along with him. Rome Odunze, he joins a wide receiver room that includes proven vets like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, but he's not looking to just be along for the ride. He said earlier this week he's chasing the rookie receiving record, which was set by Puka Nacua last year, 1,486 yards to be exact. Now, when Nacua did it, it was certainly unexpected because of his draft status. Odunze, first rounder, that comes with a little more expectations, but there are other mouths to feed in the Chicago offense. Buy or sell, Vinny, Odunze will be lucky to break 1,000 yards given the other pieces there.
I'm going to buy that. Plus, a rookie wide receiver that it takes a while to learn, and because he's got to read coverage and do adjustments and those types of things, and he's got two very good receivers. C.J. Moore is no joke. DJ Moore is no joke. And Keenan Allen, he's a good possession type guy too. So I don't think he's going to do all that. Like you said, I don't know that there's enough balls to go around. And you got a rookie quarterback.
And Cole Kmet's still there too, right? Yeah. The tight end. And he's pretty strong receiving wise. But I agree with Vinny. I think DJ Moore is going to be the leading receiver for the Bears.
And Bears. When Puka did it, look at the quarterback that he had, and now he's expecting to break Puka's record when they're both going to be learning at the same time.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. We'll come back. Chase McDermott, Orioles' top pitching prospects, one of them. He'll be joining us. He pitched last night, as a matter of fact. We'll get to the NFL talk. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh. We're going to go to NFL lunch, get more in-depth into this Trevor Lawrence contract. This guy was the next great thing coming out of high school, won a national championship as a freshman, played for a couple of more. Did take Jacksonville to the playoffs 2 years ago, but they faded. He was hurt. Maybe there's your excuse, but crazy money. Yeah. This quarterback market just keeps changing and changing and changing. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins. Anything you want to hear from him, which could be Genesis as well, send your request, plus for text line 410-583. 105.7. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles Phillies tonight, 7:05. Camden Yards, start of a big three-game series. Baltimore baseball tonight. Yours truly, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles Pub. We start at 6, getting you ready for this epic, hey, rematch of the 83 World Series. And how awesome would it be if it's the 2024 World Series? But let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. But joining us now, maybe a guy we're going to see with the Orioles at some point here in 2024, and certainly beyond, one of the top prospects in the Orioles system right now down at Norfolk. Let's welcome into the program for the first time, Chase McDermott. Chase, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore. It's Vinny and Annie. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. You were dealing last night anyway against the always fun Redbirds. So how would you assess your performance as the Tides, okay, unfortunately took it on the chin, but how'd you feel overall about the way you threw the ball?
It was a little bit of a grind. One of those games where you probably don't feel your best. You got to find ways to get out. And I thought I did that pretty well. Had some batters that I lost in tough situations, but for the most part, thought I put us in a position to hopefully get a win, and didn't play out that way, but I was happy with it in the end.
Now, for you progressing through the Orioles system, and for those who might not remember, Chase came over from the Astros in the Trey Mancini deal, a three-way trade. I mean, I got confused. I'm sure you were confused because you got traded, but trying to follow all the movie pieces there. But you've been in the system now for almost two, Chase, calendar years. Orioles are big on player development. How has the player development aspect that the Orioles have implemented here helped you along in your career now?
Yeah, it's been huge. Just trying to get me refined as a pitcher in the sense of pitch movements, locations, and kind of just thought process of understanding when to throw certain pitches, why you're throwing them, how to read the hitters and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a good time since I've been here.
Has there been any talk of arm angle changes and, just tweaking sort of the mechanics at all for you?
We've gone over mechanical changes, more timing issues than trying to change stuff, really. The mechanical things normally consist of, like, making sure my hands break on time and stuff like that. Maybe not turning so much at the top of leg lift, but nothing really that would stand out to a normal fan.
Hey, Chase, how would you evaluate your game? I mean, give me like strengths, weaknesses. What are your strengths now? And then, you've talked about some of your weaknesses, but what are your strengths? What's your go-to stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think my strength is being able to put hitters away. I throw five pitches, so using them to my advantage. And using them to attack hitters' weaknesses and get strikeouts.
And Chase, what do you like about, what's the biggest difference like in this organization compared to like Houston?
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
What's the biggest difference between like when you were, like you're here for the Orioles and then when you were drafted by Houston, what's the difference in the organizations?
There's honestly not a ton just within minor league baseball. I feel like a lot of organizations are pretty similar. But I feel like the biggest thing for me was just kind of the hands-on nature when I got here. It felt like we rely on data to kind of tell us what we need to improve on, but then kind of use the coaching aspect and the human aspect of trying to get it there and learn as you go instead of just trying to copy what the numbers say.
Chase McDermott, Oriole prospect, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Chase now with the Tides. Made the start last night. Now, do you have an ETA for coming up to Baltimore? Because as you've known since you came over from Houston, that a lot of players make their major league debuts here in the Orioles organization. And, you got Norby just got back. Kerstad's been here a couple of times in Baltimore. Obviously, Jackson Holliday, which much fanfare. Do they come back and say, Chase, it's glorious up there, man. You have to visit this place at least one time. It's a magical land that only few can get to. Is that a motivating factor for you? And do you circle a date going, well, this date, 2024, I want to be wearing the black and orange of the Birds of Baltimore here?
Yeah, I mean, they have some cool stories when they come back that we get to hear, and it definitely makes it a little bit more exciting. But I don't really have an ETA. I can't really control when I get called up. So I don't really worry about it. I just try to play to the best of my ability and wait for whenever they give me the call.
Hey, Chase, you mentioned, you know, like the Orioles are into the analytics and stuff. Like when you were at Ball State and stuff, and as you've moved along, have you been big into the analytics?
Yeah, just kind of as I've progressed throughout pro ball. At Ball State, we didn't really use a ton of analytics. And then I got drafted, and the Astros are really big into analytics, so I kind of got introduced to it there, and then it's progressed as I've been over here. I think that's kind of the direction baseball's going. So looking at analytics is cool, but at the same time, try not to get caught up in it too much and just kind of figure out how to pitch and get outs at the same time.
Chase McDermott here on the Fan. Chase, last thing for you, because we know you're a busy guy. Robot umpires, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think? Major leagues, do they need it?
Thumb in the middle. I think there's
sideways.
I think there's, yeah, I think there's some benefits to it, and I think there's some things that could be improved on with it. But I don't really know how it would be implemented into the big leagues anyways, if it'd be full robot or the challenge system. So I don't mind it. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's kind of one of those things you kind of just get used to it as you go. So.
Yeah, we all like the human error, unless you're the one getting hosed by the umpires, of course. Chase McDermott, Oriole prospect, hopefully soon in Baltimore. Chase, we appreciate the time. If we don't talk to you soon, enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy your summer, and hopefully we'll see you up at Oriole Park at Camden Yards really, really quickly here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Chase.
You got it. Chase McDermott. 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan here on this featured artist Friday. It's Phil Collins. Anything you want to hear from him, which could be Genesis as well, send your request, Plaza Sports text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Orioles Phillies tonight, 7:05, Camden Yards, start of a big three-game series. Baltimore baseball tonight, yours truly, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles Pub. We start at 6, getting you ready for this epic, rematch of the 83 World Series. And how awesome would it be if it's the 2024 World Series? But let's not get ahead of ourselves too much. But joining us now, maybe a guy we're going to see with the Orioles at some point here in 2024, and certainly beyond, one of the top prospects in the Orioles system right now down at Norfolk. Let's welcome into the program for the first time, Chase McDermott. Chase, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore. It's Vinny and Annie. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, you were dealing last night anyway against the always fun Redbirds. So how would you assess your performance as the Tides, unfortunately took it on the chin, but how'd you feel overall about the way you threw the ball?
It was a little bit of a grind. One of those games where you probably don't feel your best. You got to find ways to get out. And I thought I did that pretty well. Had some batters that I lost in tough situations, but for the most part, thought I put us in a position to hopefully get a win, and didn't play out that way, but I was happy with it in the end.
Now, for you progressing through the Orioles system, and for those who might not remember, Chase came over from the Astros in the Trey Mancini deal, a three-way trade. I mean, I got confused. I'm sure you were confused because you got traded, but trying to follow all the movie pieces there. But you've been in the system now for almost two, Chase, calendar years. Orioles are big on player development. How has the player development aspect that the Orioles have implemented here helped you along in your career now?
Yeah, it's been huge. Just trying to get me refined as a pitcher in the sense of pitch movements, locations, and kind of just thought process of understanding when to throw certain pitches, why you're throwing them, how to read the hitters and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a good time since I've been here.
Has there been any talk of arm angle changes and, just tweaking sort of the mechanics at all for you?
We've gone over mechanical changes, more timing issues than trying to change stuff, really. The mechanical things normally consist of, making sure my hands break on time and stuff like that. Maybe not turning so much at the top of leg lift, but nothing really that would stand out to a normal fan.
Hey, Chase, how would you evaluate your game? I mean, give me like strengths, weaknesses. What are your strengths now? And then, you know, you've talked about some of your weaknesses, but what are your strengths? What's your go-to stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think my strength is being able to put hitters away. I have throw five pitches, so using them to my advantage and using them to attack hitters' weaknesses and get strikeouts.
And Chase, what do you like about, you know, what's the biggest difference like in this organization compared to like Houston?
Sir, can you say that one more time?
What's the biggest difference between like when you were, like you're here for the Orioles and then when you were drafted by Houston, what's the difference in the organizations?
There's honestly not a ton just within minor league baseball. I feel like a lot of organizations are pretty similar. But I feel like the biggest thing for me was just kind of the hands-on nature when I got here. It felt like we rely on data to kind of tell us what we need to improve on, but then kind of use the coaching aspect and the human aspect of trying to get it there and learn as you go instead of just trying to copy what the numbers say.
Chase McDermott, Oriole prospect, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Chase now with the Tides. Made the start last night. Now, do you have an ETA for coming up to Baltimore? Because as you've known since you came over from Houston, that a lot of players make their major league debuts here in the Orioles organization. And, you know, you got Norby just got back. Kerstad's been here a couple of times in Baltimore. Obviously, Jackson Holliday, which much fanfare. Do they come back and say, Chase, it's glorious up there, man. You have to visit this place at least one time. It's a magical land that only few can get to. Is that a motivating factor for you? And do you circle a date going, well, this date, 2024, I want to be wearing the black and orange of the Birds of Baltimore here?
Yeah, I mean, they have some cool stories when they come back that we get to hear, and it definitely makes it a little bit more exciting. But I don't really have an ETA. I can't really control when I get called up, so I don't really worry about it. I just try to play to the best of my ability and wait for whenever they give me the call.
Hey, Chase, you mentioned, you know, like the Orioles are into the analytics and stuff. Like when you were at Ball State and stuff, and as you've moved along, have you been big into the analytics?
Yeah, just kind of as I progressed throughout pro ball. At Ball State, we didn't really use a ton of analytics. And then I got drafted, and the Astros are really big into analytics, so I kind of got introduced to it there, and then it's progressed as I've been over here. I think that's kind of the direction baseball's going. So looking at analytics is cool, but at the same time, try not to get caught up in it too much and just kind of figure out how to pitch and get outs at the same time.
Chase McDermott here on the Fan. Chase, last thing for you, because we know you're a busy guy. Robot umpires, thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think? Major leagues, do they need it?
Thumb in the middle. I think there's
sideways.
I think there's some benefits to it, and I think there's some things that could be improved on with it. But I don't really know how it would be implemented into the big leagues anyways, if it'd be full robot or the challenge system. So I don't mind it. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's kind of one of those things. You kind of just get used to it as you go. So.
Yeah, we all like the human error, unless you're the one getting hosed by the umpires, of course. Chase McDermott, Oriole prospect, hopefully soon in Baltimore. Chase, we appreciate the time. If we don't talk to you soon, enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy your summer, and hopefully we'll see you up at our Oriole Park at Camden Yards really, really quickly here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Chase.
You got it. Chase McDermott, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. You're going to hear from John Harbaugh as well. Got NFL lunch. Former Raven just signed with a new team. We'll get into that. And Trevor Lawrence just signed for $1 bazillion, at least in regards to the money we work with. Stay tuned. American League East report at 1:15. And then Jack Fritz, WIP Radio in Philadelphia. Talking about those Phillies coming down here, 3-game set against the Orioles after dropping 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox. 5880, 105.7 The Fan. Coming up on NFL lunch here in a matter of minutes. 1 o'clock, as a matter of fact. American League East report, 1:15. What happened in the division last night and yesterday? Busy weekend, obviously. Baltimore got the Phillies. Yankees and Red Sox, they're going to shove it down your throats like you think that's the most important thing going on in your life this weekend. Jack Fritz, WIP, up in Philly. Talk about those fighting Phils. Just dropped 2 out of 3 at Fenway, but still big, comfortable lead in the National League's Eastern Division. Before we get to all this, it's Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins, Genesis. I'm going to borrow from the Big Bad Morning Show. I'm going to give myself the shovel. Or are we going to do Running Hot? I'm not going to run hot. But about 3 weeks ago, I was at the store. I needed new hair gel.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, Nolan, listen to this. Rookie move for a veteran hair connoisseur like myself. And it's a brand I'm not going to rag on because it's my fault. It's a brand that I use to shave my face. I don't think they're a sponsor, but anyway, it rhymes with Larry's. Let's just put it that way. So I'm using it this morning because I ran out of my previous stuff. Then I let it sit in, and then I comb it out so I get this nice wavy look that everyone is jealous and envious of, and rightfully so. When you're 60, you have my hair, come talk to me. I'm like, man, and the brush got stuck inside of it. Dude, it was the hard, heavy, it was like I put that Flex Seal in my hair. I started combing it out, and I had like this white crap all over my shirt. I'm like, what the bleep? Now I'm cussing at myself, of course. I got to get the light gel, because it still holds it. Then you comb it out, and you know, it is what it is. This stuff is like I put a helmet on my head. So if you're a hair gel person, do not use the heavy gel unless you're just looking to maintain that slick back Pat Riley for the entirety of your day. There you go.
I thought you were going to be running hot, Bob, about the traffic.
One bad today.
No.
Oh, going home. You mean the right lane closed on 695?
Yes.
Past 795 by Liberty Road, which is going to cost me an extra half hour to get home. I'll be running more hot in real time because I got to go home to Glen Burnie like I'm whining about something trivial, which it is in a grand scheme of things. Get the laptop, feed the cats, check my mail because my wife and daughter are going to concert at Merriweather. Modest Mouse and the Pixies. I know the Pixies, never heard of Modest Mouse. Don't care. Go have fun. Do your thing. And then I'm going to head down 295, which sadly, because of the Key Bridge no longer there, is increased in traffic because all the trucks and everything's trying to get to the 95 bridge, or a tunnel, rather. But, yeah, not running hot about that. But, Nolan, it was a rookie move on my part.
That's the cost of looking good. You're high maintenance over there.
Right.
We work in radio, but your pre-show prep is like that of TV.
Hair gel.
Had to come get you in your makeup room this morning.
Yeah. I'm so excited about this series tonight. Starting tonight, I might even wear my bottom plate. I might have my full teeth display on down at
Look Pickles out, ladies. Pump.
Yeah, look out, ladies. Look out, girls.
Uh-oh.
It's falling all over Ryan and Bordy and Lanlin down there. And I'm just going to be waiting for Rashawn to show up at 6:55 just in time for me to leave and him not get me that beer that he's always late doing. But we digress, as always. Let's get back to the phones as we head into NFL, or not phones, let's get back to the cuts. Here's John Harbaugh talking about the O-line and the evaluating without the pads.
Not really. That'll be for training camp. I think all those guys have done what they need to do in terms of preparing for that, but that'll happen first few weeks of training camp, and then on into the preseason games, we'll see where we go.
Bob, I can't agree more. I mean, I was talking to Ozzie the other day, and I was asking him about something, you know, and he says, can't evaluate without pads on. You got to wait till fall. And I totally agree. I mean, how do you evaluate old linemen when you don't have pads on? Because they got to, you know, is he physical? Is he tough? You know, any of those kind of things? Same thing with the defensive linemen.
Now, on the flip side, as you can't evaluate in a positive way, can you notice without pads if someone can't play? I mean, is that more pronounced, I guess?
Well, you can see athleticism.
Right.
And like my big thing, you know, like Ben Cleveland can't bend his knees and he can't move. You know, you can see that without pads on. Like when I was watching Rosengarten the other day and he just got walked right back. Maybe with pads on, he could put his foot in the ground and yank her, but Bob, the visualization of the Michigan game, that looked exactly like it. And I go, oh boy, you know, he's not ready yet. So, I mean, you can pick up some things, but you don't want to, you don't want to make any real decisions until you get the pads.
I remember you said pretty much from jump that Mason couldn't play, the fullback from Michigan.
Oh, he just, yeah, he looked non-athletic is the biggest thing. Now he's out, is he in Chargers?
Is he?
He's at the Chargers.
Oh, he played for
Harbs.
Yeah, Jim out there in Michigan.
So I think he's out there.
Ravens West.
Yep.
Let's just call him that.
Yeah.
And we'll see them up close and personal on national television. And real quick, here's John Harbaugh talking about pre-snap communications with the offense. Maybe there's some tweakage there.
Yeah, I think we're talking about all the pre-snap stuff, operational type stuff at the line and in the huddle, out of the huddle at the line. Try to make some decisions at the line in terms of growing the offense in that direction. It's looked good, but we still have a long way to go. I think everybody would tell you that. We've got a lot of work to do with that. And it will be an ongoing process throughout the season for sure. That's the direction we're going.
Yeah, Bob, but you could tell because there was a lot of dudes, Bob, that were running laps.
Oh.
Because they jumped off sides. So what Harb's talking about is they're trying to advance the offense. And bottom line is, they're letting Lamar make more decisions at the line of scrimmage. And so he's got to check different things and get them into better place.
Time for a call, Nolan. Let's do it. Let's go out to White Marsh. Let's bring in Cliff. Cliffy, what's happening?
I know you guys are pressed for time. Vinny?
Yes.
Offensive tackle play. Now, I'm watching a guy like Falele who cannot surrender the line of scrimmage, because if he gets depth back towards the quarterback and tries to reset his feet, he gets pushed another yard and a half, and then you've lost your pocket. Now, what I'm saying about his technique, he seems to be, and I don't think one size should fit all. He is very quick laterally with his footwork.
Yep.
Why can't he move boom, 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 like three quick steps to get in front of somebody, don't give up the depth into the backfield, and I don't know what kind of punch he has, but then it's time for hand-to-hand combat. But you cannot teach him the way you would teach an athletic tackle to play that position. It's just not going to work. But there's a place for the guy, because I really do believe he is quick-footed side to side. Well, explain the difference to me, Vinny. Do they just teach offensive tackle mechanics one way, or do they somehow relent a little bit and let a guy do what he does best? And I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Falele is, like, his kick step as a right tackle with his right foot, he doesn't get, in my opinion, enough depth. And then you talk about punch. He doesn't use his arms. He's got 36 or 37-inch arms. And just think of the extension and punch. He's 370 pounds. The punch that he could get. That's the thing that bothers me about him is he lets the rushers get into his body. That's the biggest thing that I see with him. And it's been 3 years. And I did see in a drill the other day that he did extend his arms. I said, whoa, that was nice to see. But he's got to do it consistently, and we'll see when the pads come on.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. NFL lunch, feed you some football. Former Raven has found a new home. Stay tuned for that. American League East report at 1:15. Busy weekend in baseball. Some epic matchups coming on in the division and beyond. And then Jack Fritz, WIP up in Philadelphia. Talk about those Phillies coming to town. Yeah, they lost 2 out of 3 in Boston, but they're still really, really good. 5880, 105.7 The Fan. Coming up on NFL Lunch here in a matter of minutes. 1 o'clock, as a matter of fact. American League East report, 1:15. What happened in the division last night and yesterday? Busy weekend, obviously. Baltimore got the Phillies. Yankees and Red Sox, they're going to shove it down your throats like you think that's the most important thing going on in your life this weekend. Jack Fritz, WIP, up in Philly. Talk about those fighting Phils. Just dropped 2 out of 3 at Fenway, but still big, comfortable lead in the National League's Eastern Division. Before we get to all this, it's Featured Artist Friday. It's Phil Collins, Genesis. I'm going to borrow from the Big Bad Morning Show. I'm going to give myself the shovel. Or are we going to do Running Hot? I'm not going to run hot. But about 3 weeks ago, I was at the store I needed new hair gel.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, Nolan, listen to this. Rookie move for a veteran hair connoisseur like myself. And it's a brand I'm not going to rag on because it's my fault. It's a brand that I use to shave my face. I don't think they're a sponsor, but anyway, it rhymes with Larry's. Let's just put it that way. So I'm using it this morning because I ran out of my previous stuff. Then I let it sit in, and then I comb it out so I get this nice wavy look that everyone is jealous and envious of, and rightfully so. When you're 60, you have my hair, come talk to me. I'm like, man, and the brush got stuck inside of it. Dude, it was the hard, heavy, it was like I put that Flex Seal in my hair. I started combing it out, and I had like this white crap all over my shirt. Like, what the bleep? Now I'm cussing at myself, of course. I got to get the light gel because it still holds it. Then you comb it out, and, you know, it is what it is. This stuff is like I put a helmet on my head. So if you're a hair gel person, do not use the heavy gel unless you're just looking to maintain that slick back Pat Riley for the entirety of your day. There you go.
I thought you were going to be running hot, Bob, about the traffic.
Wasn't bad today.
No.
Oh, going home. You mean the right lane closed on 695?
Yes.
Past 795 by Liberty Road, which is going to cost me an extra half hour to get home. I'll be running more hot in real time because I got to go home to Glen Burnie like I'm whining about something trivial, which it is in a grand scheme of things. Get the laptop, feed the cats, check my mail because my wife and daughter are going to concert at Merriweather. Modest Mouse and the Pixies. I know the Pixies, never heard of Modest Mouse. Don't care. Go have fun. Do your thing. And then I'm going to head down 295, which sadly, because of the Key Bridge longer there, is increased in traffic because all the trucks and everything's trying to get to the 95 bridge, or a tunnel, rather. But, yeah, not running hot about that. But, Nolan, it was a rookie move on my part.
That's the cost of looking good. You're high maintenance over there.
Right.
We work in radio, but your pre-show prep is like that of TV.
Hair gel.
Had to come get you in your makeup room this morning.
Yeah. I'm so excited about this series tonight, starting tonight. Uh-huh. I might even wear my bottom plate. I might have my full teeth display on down at
Look Pickles out, ladies. Pump.
Yeah, look out, ladies. Look out, girls.
Uh-oh.
It's falling all over Ryan and Bordy and Lanlin down there. I'm just going to be waiting for Rashawn to show up at 6:55 just in time for me to leave and him not get me that beer that he's always late doing. But we digress, as always. Let's get back to the phones as we head into NFL, or not phones. Let's get back to the cuts. Here's John Harbaugh talking about the O-line and the evaluating without the pads.
Not really. That'll be for training camp. I think all those guys have done what they need to do in terms of preparing for that, but that'll happen first few weeks of training camp and then on into the preseason games. We'll see where we go.
Bob, I can't agree more. I mean, I was talking to Ozzie the other day, and I was asking him about something, you know, and he says, can't evaluate without pads on. You got to wait till fall. And I totally agree. I mean, how do you evaluate old linemen when you don't have pads on? Because they got to, you know, is he physical? Is he tough? You know, any of those kind of things? Same thing with the defensive linemen.
Now, on the flip side, as you can't evaluate in a positive way, can you notice without pads if someone can't play? I mean, is that more pronounced, I guess?
Well, you can see athleticism.
Right.
And like my big thing, you know, like Ben Cleveland can't bend his knees and he can't move. You know, you can see that without pads on. Like when I was watching Rosengarten the other day and he just got walked right back. Maybe with pads on, he could put his foot in the ground and the anchor. But, Bob, the visualization of the Michigan game, that looked exactly like it. And I go, oh, boy, you know, he's not ready yet. So, I mean, you can pick up some things, but you don't want to make any real decisions until you get the pads
on. I remember you said pretty much from jump that Mason couldn't play, the fullback from Michigan.
Oh, he looked non-athletic. Is the biggest thing. Now he's out. Is he in Chargers?
Is he?
He's at the Chargers.
Oh, he played for
Harbs.
Yeah, yeah, getting out there in Michigan.
So I think he's out there.
Ravens West.
Yep.
Let's just call him that.
Yeah.
And we'll see them up close and personal on national television. And real quick, here's John Harbaugh talking about pre-snap communications with the offense. Maybe there's some tweakage there.
Yeah, I think we're talking about all the pre-snap stuff, operational type stuff at the line and in the huddle, out of the huddle at the line. Try to make some decisions at the line in terms of growing the offense in that direction. It's looked good, but we still have a long way to go. I think everybody would tell you that. We've got a lot of work to do with that. And it will be an ongoing process throughout the season for sure. That's the direction we're going.
Yeah, Bob, but you could tell because there was a lot of dudes, Bob, that were running laps.
Oh.
Because they jumped off sides. So what Harbin's talking about is they're trying to advance the offense. And bottom line is, they're letting Lamar make more decisions at the line of scrimmage. And so he's got to check different things and get them into better place.
Time for a call, Nolan. Let's do it. Let's go out to White Marsh. Let's bring in Cliff. Cliffy, what's happening?
I know you guys are pressed for time. Vinny?
Yes.
Offensive tackle play. Now, I'm watching a guy like Falele who cannot surrender the line of scrimmage, because if he gets depth back towards the quarterback and tries to reset his feet, he gets pushed another yard and a half, and then you've lost your pocket. Now, what I'm saying about his technique, he seems to be, and I don't think one size should fit all. He is very quick laterally with his footwork.
Yep.
Why can't he move boom, 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 like three quick steps to get in front of somebody? Don't give up the depth into the backfield. And I don't know what kind of punch he has, but then it's time for hand-to-hand combat. But you cannot teach him the way you would teach an athletic tackle to play that position. It's just not going to work. But there's a place for the guy, because I really do believe he is quick-footed side to side. Well, explain the difference to me, Vinny. Do they just teach offensive tackle mechanics one way, or do they somehow relent a little bit and let a guy do what he does best? And I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Falele is, like, his kick step as a right tackle with his right foot, he doesn't get enough depth. And then you talk about punch. He doesn't use his arms. He's got 36 or 37-inch arms. And just think of the extension and punch. He's 370 pounds. The punch that he could get. That's the thing that bothers me about him, is he lets the rushers get into his body. That's the biggest thing that I see with him. And it's been 3 years. And I did see in a drill the other day that he did extend his arms. I said, whoa, that was nice to see. But he's got to do it consistently, and we'll see when the pads come on.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan. We'll come back. NFL lunch, feed you some football. Former Raven has found a new home. Stay tuned for that. American League East report at 1:15. Busy weekend in baseball. Some epic matchups coming on in the division and beyond. And then Jack Fritz, WIP up in Philadelphia. Talk about those Phillies coming to town. Yeah, they lost 2 out of 3 in Boston, but they're still really, really good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.